This has to do with the entire chapter, what you have in front of you, of Proverbs chapter 8. I was just going to go the first 5 points, but I thought actually first 6 points, but then I just decided to throw the rest in. So I'll go as quickly as I can. But the title is also the lesson, You Need to Get Wisdom. Chapter 8, well, Proverbs is all about wisdom, but chapters 8 and 9 are wisdom appealing. It's saying, I'm here. You need me. Okay, so let's just go through these quickly as possible. Number one is wisdom is readily available. You don't have to shop for wisdom. You don't have to hunt for wisdom. Not in the sense that it's unobtainable. It's there. Notice what it says in verses 1 through 5, just underneath point 1. Does not wisdom, what does it do? What does wisdom do? Cry out. And understanding, lift up her voice. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill. And it's not hidden. Beside the way where the paths meet, she cries out by the gates. At the entry of the city, you can't miss her, right? It's talking as if wisdom was a woman, right? At the entrance of the doors, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Right? So wisdom is readily available. It's there actually crying out to us. So the lack of wisdom is not because of the lack of availability, because wisdom is readily available. All right? It's there. It's for the taking. Right? Number two, wisdom's qualities are clear. And I bolded some of them. There's also negative qualities. There's pluses and minuses. It tells you what it is and also tells you what it is not. Right? In this next passage here. Verses 6 through 9 here. It says, listen, for I will speak of what things?
Excellent things.
Wisdom speaks of excellent things. Now we're talking about God's wisdom, which is true wisdom. There's the world's wisdom or fleshly wisdom, which is really false wisdom. It's falsehood, right? Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come, I should have bolded, right things. When I talk about the Bible, I like to compare what's right and wrong, what's true and false. God's word will always tell you what is right and always tell you what is true. Right? It'll also tell you what's wrong and what is false, too. For my mouth will speak what? Truth. The wisdom of God is pure. It's true. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Right? So wisdom does not have wickedness. It's an absence of wickedness. All the words of my mouth are with what? Righteousness. What is righteousness? I suppose, define it as godly actions. Right? What is right, morally right actions? What God defines as morally right. Notice here, then it contrasts it. It says, nothing crooked or perverse is in them. Right? God says, whatever wisdom is, it despises that which is crooked or perverse, which goes against the plan of God. Right? And notice here, this is kind of interesting too. They are all, what? Plain to him who understands. There are things that are hard to understand about God, but most things are not. Most things are clear and simple. Plain, you could say simple. Easy to understand. Now, there's things that you can argue about because the Bible isn't clear on, but most of the things that matter, I would say all of the things that matter, do not require conversation. They're clear in the Bible. Right? They're plain to him who understands. And notice, it uses the word right again, and right to those who find knowledge. It makes sense to them. It's morally obvious. The Word of God, the wisdom of God makes things morally obvious. It's right or wrong. right? And I would say on the, you know, the key things there, right? So that's number two. Number one, wisdom is readily available. It's there for the taking, if you will. Wisdom's qualities are clear. It's excellent, right, truth, righteousness, plain, right? Those words. Number three here, wisdom's value is, I call it here, superior. Wisdom's value is superior. What does it mean to be superior?
Over and above.
Over and above.
What is anything?
Yeah, it's a comparison word, right? Like I would say, well, I don't know, because I had tea today. I was going to say coffee is superior to tea. That's really not a, that's a preference, right? Yeah. Cake is superior to dirt.
Definitely.
Okay, right, okay. Unless it's really good dirt, I suppose. But all right. Depends on what's spilled in the dirt, right? But the idea, it's a comparative, it's saying that it's better than, right? So notice what it says here. Receive my instruction. And notice it says rather than or instead of several times. Notice wisdom is more superior. It's superior. Its value is superior than what? What's the first thing? Silver. We're not to be chasing after money. We're to be chasing after wisdom, right? And knowledge, which is a component of wisdom, right? Knowledge rather than choice. What? Gold. So wisdom is to be, is has more value than silver, has more value than gold. For verse 11, for wisdom is better than what? Rubies. And then it kind of says, well, and I'm tired of listing them. Why don't I just say in all the things that one may desire. And it's kind of like saying, in anything else you can list of value cannot be compared with her. Wisdom is up here and everything else is down here. So, if you will, godly wisdom, biblical wisdom has to take precedence over money, things that money can buy, all of that. Our pursuit needs to be on the wisdom of God. Now, the wisdom of God has an effect on our money. Money, you need money to pay bills, right? You need money to do things, even money to give things. But that's not your focus or pursuit, right? It's better to have, all throughout the book of Proverbs, and also in Psalms, there's several times that it says, better is this than this, right? And it goes on through, and this is what Proverbs is saying about wisdom. Wisdom is claiming that it's superior than any wealth that you can acquire. And so therefore, and anything else of value is not to be compared with godly wisdom. We need to be people of the Word of God. We need to be reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God. That's where God's wisdom comes from. And He says it's more valuable than your job. It's more valuable than your income. It's more valuable than your hobby. It's more valuable than things that you can invest in. It's more valuable than anything else you can compare with it. Okay. Number four. I call this wisdom is described. Wisdom is described. This is verses 12 through 16. Now listen, this is what you can do with wisdom. Right? This is wisdom describing herself. If wisdom were a woman, this is what she's describing herself as. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And find out knowledge and discretion. This is where true information is. Right? This is where you determine what's truly right and wrong, true and false. And you can weigh things out. Notice verse 13. This is part of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to what? To hate evil. And then it goes on to describe some of that evil. Pride, the majority of evil has probably first begun as pride, because you're saying, I know better than God, right? Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Now, what it's saying is you're choosing not to indulge in that or be around that as much as you have a choice to do that. Hate does not mean you have to feel bad, right, for it. I have to hate food. Not because I dislike food at all, but I have to choose not to because it affects my, overeating affects my health. Why does he say that every year? Doctors, what do they know, right? But I'm saying, and as you get older, it affects your health even more, right? But the more you weigh, the more it is hard on your body, and I wrestle with that. I think I was down 10 pounds in May, and I went on vacation. Yep. Anyway. And then he says I have to exercise. So, what does he know, right? No, it's true. It's just hard to get out when you live behind your chair, or on a chair behind a desk all day. Mm-hmm. But it's true, right? Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. Now listen, it's describing almost the perfect life. If you think about this, by wisdom, there dwells prudence. That's another form of wisdom, discernment, if you will. Knowledge, discretion, being able to figure things out, and the hatred of evil. Wouldn't it be great if the world was operated under wisdom? Wouldn't it be great if Christians lived under godly wisdom, right? Pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth. Wisdom hates all of those because biblical wisdom knows what is right and good. And we can do nothing right originating from ourselves. Pride and arrogance, right? All of those things are ignoring God. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. The idea that you can think rightly about things. I am understanding. I have strength. There's strength in wisdom. That doesn't mean you can bench press 400 pounds or whatever. That's not. It's a living strength. Strength for living. And notice here, it's not saying that every king does this correctly. Every leader does it. But the right kings will reign with wisdom, God's wisdom. The right rulers will decree justice by using God's wisdom. Right? By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. Accomplish what God wants by using godly wisdom. So wisdom is described, and it's almost like a paradise when you think about that paragraph, right? Wisdom brings goodness to the world, and it rightly approaches sin as sin because it hates evil. It hates selfish initiation of anything, pride, arrogance, evil way, perverse mouth, all of those start with you as an individual, me as an individual, right? And then to have the right godly input and so on. All of that is built in. That's what wisdom is. Who would not want wisdom? Now, number five, even though wisdom is available, I think it's also nice to know that wisdom is obtainable, right? So number five is obtainable. Why do I say that? There's some things that are available that you just can't obtain. Does that make sense? I'm not a person that... I can give you all kinds of examples, but I'm not a person that knows a lot about cars, right? Other than I know that I hate cars, right? But I know that a Lamborghini is a car that's very expensive. Maybe you're more in the poor Corvette world. You know, and all those are expensive. Even some of these pickups are like, I could have bought two of my first houses with that pickup. You know, stuff like that. But All of these things are available, but that doesn't mean I have the ability to obtain them. Fair? A Lamborghini is available. I could go down somewhere today and buy one. It's available to me, but I can't buy one. Why? I don't have the capacity, the money. I'd have to get a loan from Pastor Jim, right, to do that. Yeah, we'll just keep passing them. Yeah. Right? Or put it this way. Everyone knows what a wonderful athlete I am. Right? So, you know what? I could be a quarterback. It's available. Those positions are available. Okay? There are positions for quarterbacks. How many pro sports teams are there? 32 pro sports teams. That's not counting the Canadian League. And I think there's one in Europe, too. What do they call football in Europe?
Football.
American football?
No,
football.
European football.
Okay. But I'm saying, just because it's available, sure. Come on, try out. You can try out in the parking lot. We'll save you the trip in. Right? Just kind of run around a little bit, get in your car and go home. Right? You can even try out in your backyard because it'll have the same effect. Right? Just because it's available doesn't mean you can get it. It's different with wisdom. Because wisdom, everyone could obtain wisdom. Look at this verse here, verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently, what's the next word? Will find me. That's a promise. That's a guarantee. There's a lot of things that you can do that there's no guarantee for. I don't even do the McDonald's scratch game. I don't even know if they still have scratch games. It used to be, you know, scratch it off, and it's like, oh, can't even win that small fry, you know? But I'm saying that it's a shot in the dark with that, but this is not. It's a guarantee that if you seek diligently, you will find wisdom. It reminds me of other passages. If you seek me, you will find me, God says. Right? So what does it take? It's not automatic. It takes what? Diligent seeking, right? It takes time, effort, and energy to develop. By the way, if you think you're wise and you're not seeking wisdom through the Word of God, you are self-deceived. I'll just tell you that right now, because it says here, you must diligently seek for wisdom. And if you've never done that, you are not wise. You might think you're wise in your own eyes, but you have not done that unless you're in the Word of God and constantly letting the Word of God infuse your mind, right? But the promise is there. Those who seek me diligently will find me. Wisdom is obtainable. It's not just something promised that you can't ever get. It's there and you will obtain it if you seek it diligently. Okay? Number 6, wisdom's rewards are great. Verses 18 to 21. Notice this here. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Now that isn't promising you a big bank account. In fact, that would be somewhat of a contradiction from earlier, right? To some degree, you're not to seek wisdom so you can get rich. It's saying a side benefit of wisdom is that it usually comes with greater wealth than if you didn't have wisdom. Okay? Riches and honor with me, enduring riches. What does enduring mean?
Lasting.
It's lasting. Riches that last. I would say that ultimately this would relate to eternal riches. You may live an impoverished life on earth because of the choices you make eternally. Right? It leads you, you're seeking wisdom rather than money, and God might not give you that money. Right? He might not give you like Solomon, well, since you ask for wisdom, I'll give you money too. Well, most of us, he just says, well, okay, we'll give you some wisdom. And you'll have to work for your money. Right? My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold. Fruit is the result of something, right? Right? And my revenue than choice silver. So again, I pay better than any paycheck. And it's not talking about how big your bank account is. It's what the ultimate eternal value of it is. I traverse the way of righteousness. Again, there's no better way to live than in the way of righteousness. And among people that live the way of righteousness. In the midst of the path of justice, what is right and fair and good. That I might cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Now again, I'm not of the opinion or belief that God promises you a big bank account in this life. But he does say everything you've given up in this life will be repaid in the next life. And he does say that you're to put your efforts, energy, and income into eternal things, and that is where your reward will be. And it'll be an eternal reward, right? Even the idea of blessed are the meek, for they shall what? That sounds like a good return on meekness, right? Inheriting the earth. I think that's all involved in salvation. Right? So wisdom's rewards are great. There's no reason to pursue something different. Number seven, the backside. I call it wisdom's resume. You can write it this way or you can put an accent. Anyway, just listen. I was going to leave this off, but listen. Just so you know, this is wisdom's resume. What's a resume? You're telling what you've done. Let me just read this quickly. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there ever was an earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. That's his resume. What is it talking about here? Wisdom's resume references what? Creation. Right? That's the power of wisdom. That doesn't mean we can speak worlds into existence, but it's the same idea that God used to create the worlds and to design things. That's where true power is. That's where true understanding is. And God used that very idea, the wisdom, to do all of that. Right? And so that's not a bad resume to build on. Using it because God used it to create the universe and to design the intricacies of our own world. Lastly here, I call it wisdom's appeal. It's all really an appeal, the entire chapter, but wisdom brings it home. Notice here, the first word. It's like, I've told you all this. What's the first word? Now. Now, therefore, what? Listen to me, my children. For what? For blessed are those who keep my ways. Those that walk in wisdom will be blessed. Anyone here not want to be blessed? Do you know that you have to walk in wisdom in order to be blessed? For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. You have to listen. You have to learn. Wisdom doesn't come without learning. It doesn't come without listening. And do not disdain it. Sometimes it's painful to be corrected. Right? And that's a life of being in the Word of God is a life of being corrected. Having our minds changed to think and see rightly. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Again, I think the idea of investigating and looking and studying the Word of God so that we may be wise. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains what? Favor from the Lord. I believe that's a close relationship with God. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. But let me tell you, it's different walking in ignorance, resistance, or rebellion against God than it is walking with God in wisdom. But he who sins against me, what's the opposite of that? You're blessed and find favor with God if you walk in wisdom. But what happens if you don't? You wrong your own soul, the Bible says. Who are you hurting? Yourself. And all those who hate me. What? And what does hate mean? Just as a circle around really quickly here. You don't have to burn books or burn your Bible. You, in order to hate from a scriptural standpoint, you just have to choose something else instead of it. That's the biblical concept of hate. You choose something instead of. So then you leave it. Another way to say it is you ignore it because you're doing something else. If you ignore wisdom, you really, the Bible says, love what? Death. You're hurting yourself and you love death. And you say, I don't love death. No, the Bible says you do. You are leading a path of destruction by ignoring the wisdom of God. And that only leads to death. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ways of... That's our own conclusions. You can only go in, walk in the light as he is in the light in order to have light. You cannot produce light on your own. Right? You can only get it through the Word of God.